Good evening. So good to see you tonight. And I have to say, it's a little different for me to preach at 6 o'clock. Kettering, we meet at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, so this is back to the old times for me, coming in at 6 o'clock tonight. But I'm sure I'll be able to preach just effectively at 6 as I do at 2. So good to see you all, and I want to thank you for coming out. And we have guests here tonight. We want to thank you for coming out and being with us and invite you to come back and be here as we go through this series of gospel meetings this week. My name is Matthew Allen, and I work with the congregation in Kettering, Ohio, which is one of the suburbs of the Dayton, Ohio area, about 200 miles up I-75 from here. So it is a pleasure to be here with you this week. And I'll tell you, spring is a lot more in action here than it is where I live at the present time. We were cold yesterday, so good to be with you. We have been talking about today about stepping out in faith, and we have been basing our lessons out of Matthew, the 14th chapter. And so if you have your New Testaments handy, I'd like to encourage you to go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 14. That's where we'll be studying out of again tonight. And as I mentioned, we have been studying about the need to step out in faith and how to do that. We've talked about the need to overcome complacency and to reject distorted viewpoints and to fight fear. Because the last thing any Christian should want to do is to lead a spiritually lifeless existence as a child of God. This morning we talked about the need to step out in faith, and sometimes when we do that there are going to be problems or issues that come about. We talked about how when we step out in faith, it is during those moments that we feel that we are at our most weak, vulnerable position. But yet we step out anyway, knowing that God is going to be with us every step of the way. As we go through these passages here in Matthew chapter 14, I believe the application for New Testament Christians today is that our Lord and Savior asks us to respond to Him just as Peter did. Jesus told Peter to come out on the water, and Peter did just that. He got out and walked on the water. We're able to do that even though we know that our spiritual life is rarely calm, and sometimes when we're challenged spiritually, it is not always pleasant. We know from the scriptures that fearful situations are going to come up, and so we as Christians need to know and understand how we're going to respond successfully. So tonight, what we intend to do is take a moment and look in depth at verses 25 through 27 here in Matthew chapter 14. We're then going to attempt to define fear and what that is, and then close the lesson by talking about some ways that we can master our fears. Because water walkers are those people who accept fear as the price of growth. So let's take a look at our text tonight. Here is Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 25, where the record says, "In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" So here are the disciples. They're going across the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night, and they are about to learn the greatest lesson that they would ever receive, and that lesson was that they needed to trust Jesus during the storm. The storm is raging all around. Things look pretty bleak and desperate, and Jesus is trying to ingrate into their minds the need to reach out in faith to Him. He was going to sustain them. And I tell you, these disciples, they knew and lived with Jesus. They knew Him in a personal manner. But yet, as we read through these verses, it seems to indicate that there comes a moment in the deepest, darkest moment of the storm where these disciples don't recognize Him. I want to consider their situation for just a moment. They're caught up in the struggle of the moment. They're dealing with raging and tossing waves. They can hear and feel the wind. They can feel the rain. They see lightning. They feel this rain pelting down on them. They feel the threat of death. Yet, they don't recognize Jesus. Their disciples knew Jesus as the one who would supply their needs. They understood him as a person who could work miracles and someone who spoke the words of life and had power over Satan. But they'd never met Jesus in the middle of a storm. They didn't recognize him. I tell you, before we start criticizing these guys, why didn't they see it was him? Why didn't they understand who he was at that moment? I want to ask us a probing question. Are we really that different? It's easy for us with 2,000 years of hindsight to look back at these individuals and sometimes be critical of them. But brothers and sisters, we're really no different from them. I think we see Jesus in our need for salvation and forgiveness. And we see him as the one who's helped supply our needs. He fills us with the hope of heaven. But sometimes in the midst of life's difficulties, we fail to see Jesus for who he is. We can forget that he is nearby, especially if things are really tough, because we get caught up in the struggle of the moment. You know, when things have got us down and life is at its hardest moment, sometimes we just need to stop and pray. We need to stop and give it to God and know and trust that he is there for us, because he is. He will never forsake us. I want to spend a few moments tonight talking about the need to understand fear. Because if we can conquer our fears, or master our fear, we're going to grow spiritually. I know there are probably the majority of us in this room, if not all of us, want to grow spiritually tonight. We want to be able to stretch our faith and raise our spiritual life to the next level. But if we're going to do that, we need to understand that there are times that come where that can be just a little bit scary. Wayne Grovenberg, in his writing, has said, "How can you be a success if you've never tried anything?" Fear is something that can cripple us. It can be miserable. It can keep us. Just think about in our physical life for a moment how fear can cripple a person. It can hold a person back from getting a better job. It can keep a person from getting married. It can keep a person from finding romance or building a home or many other worthwhile pursuits in life, because our fears hold us back. Spiritually, our fears can keep us from standing up for what is right. Our fears can stop our young people, and actually our adults too, from facing peer pressure and living up to that. You know, adults have peer pressure too. We don't like to think about that sometimes, but we face it. Sometimes that peer pressure holds us back from doing what we need to do. And fear can cause us to step back and not serve in various capacities in God's church. And I tell you, if you're someone who lets your fears control your life, you are not going to be able to do very much. It's going to be a miserable existence. I tell you, anything worth doing is going to be just a little scary, at least at the onset. There's going to be some unknown factors that are involved with that. But I want you to think back, practically speaking right now, something you've done in the past that at the onset was just a little bit scary, but now you look back and say, yes, that was worthwhile. How many worthwhile things have you accomplished? And how many of those things have carried the risk of failure and had some level of fear going in? Everything worthwhile has some risk. And so what are we to do when we come up with these fears? We are to expect them. They're a natural part of the human condition. We need to embrace those fears and then commit to mastering them. Someone has said that courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the mastery of fear. I need to be victorious over my fears. So how can we do that? How can we have success against this? Well, first of all, we need to know and understand that fear is a defense mechanism. It's been put in us for good reason. I want to share with you just a personal story, one that is interesting to me. I've done some work overseas, and I've been to Ukraine 3 times, been down to Belize before, but most of my overseas work has been in Ukraine, and we went in 2003 the first time. And we were staying at a hotel because staying with brethren was just not possible to stay with brethren in that place. So we stayed in a hotel. And so there were several hours of the day that we didn't have that much to do. We'd studied all we could study. We'd gone out and worked with people all we could. But there were still hours of the day where we were just kind of sitting around in a hotel room. There's 3 of us. And so one afternoon, we'd been there about a week or two at this point, we said, we got to get out of this place and start looking around the town a little bit. So we did. We walked up down by the, our hotel was by the sea. And we walked down this street toward, there was a park area. We wanted to just go out and walk and look at the sea, the scenic Sea of Azov, which is part of the Black Sea. I'll have to tell you some stories about the Black Sea at some point. We won't get into that tonight. It's a neat place. But anyway, we're walking down toward this park in this little town in Ukraine, and we walk up and we see this bear in this cage. And there's nothing else in the park. There's no people around. There's just this bear in this cage. And so we walked up, and it looked pretty harmless, and we're standing there at the bar, in the bars of the cage, and we're kind of sticking our hand in at it, just kind of playing with it a little bit. It was a harmless bear, I guess. Does that make sense? Harmless bear? But anyway, we weren't too scared of that bear. It was not going to come out and eat us for lunch. It couldn't do it. So there was no fear mechanism in that situation. Compare that to this picture that I took 3 or 4 years ago up in Canada. I didn't get out of my truck when that bear came up. I didn't stick my arm out the window and wave at it. I did stick my camera out and take a picture of it. There's a little bit of difference there. You take the bear out of the cage and put it in the wild, and you're standing there and there's nothing between you and that bear. Are you going to be scared? Please, no one say no. I think we all are. We ought to all be scared. Fear sets in when there is a perception of threat. Fear is a reaction based on the environment that we're currently in and based on the information that we've picked up on life. I want you to think for a moment if you took a 2-year-old child and the bottom picture and you stood him out there on the side of the road in front of that bear, would that child be scared of that bear? Probably not. Now that child would get scared when it heard its mom and dad screaming or the bear walked over and bit his arm. Then the child would be scared. But the child at that point has not yet developed a set of rules that tell it when danger is present. Fear builds up in us because of a lot of life experiences. In fact, fear comes from a set of beliefs that we have learned over time. Someone has said it is like a script given to us by our parents and teachers and significant others and by the experiences in life. And let me throw out this disclaimer as well. I hope us all know and understand all fear is not bad. Fear can protect us. Anybody here enjoy climbing up on a roof? How about the roof of this building looking down off this side over here that's dug out? Anybody in here roof the building? Nobody in here? Okay. I tell you, I would want to be on this edge of this, on the edge of this side of the building looking down at the ground. And I understand, the falling is probably a pretty cool sensation, but what scares me the most is the sudden stop when you hit the ground. And so because of that, I am fearful of that, and I would stay away from it. So all fear is not bad. Fear can protect us. Fear serves us well when it protects us from physical dangers. So we need to know and understand what fear is. And once we figure that out, then we can master our fear. Now, let's make the application to spiritual matters for just a few moments. I think in spiritual matters, we often face the fear of embarrassment or rejection. One year I'd gone out to Iowa, went out in advance, was going to do a gospel meeting in a little congregation east of Des Moines. And the preacher and I became good friends, and I think one of the things that helped us become as close as we were was we went out door knocking one day, handing out invites, stuffing mailboxes or paper boxes with gospel meeting flyers, and talking to people in the community about this special evangelistic effort we were going to put together. And one person sicked his dog on us. I outrun the preacher friend of mine. Dog was not happy with us being in his yard. That's kind of embarrassing. Didn't really make, in fact, we pretty much gave up the rest of that day and went home after that. Sometimes in spiritual matters, we can face this embarrassment, or we have this fear of rejection, and sometimes that's really prevalent in evangelistic efforts. Sometimes in our spiritual life, fear can set in when we feel that something terrible is about to happen, especially when there's something very important at stake. So how can we win? How can we start to have success against our fears? Well, one thing that we can all do is study ourselves. Know who we are. Practical example. I want you to think of a situation in your life where this moment has come up and you can feel the fear starting to creep in. What is that little voice telling you? Well, I really want to help teach that Bible class, but I just don't know if I can. I don't know that much Bible, and those students, they probably know a lot more than me. I remember this when I preached in Kentucky back years ago, just starting out as a new preacher. The average age of the congregation where I labored was about 70 to 75 years old. And I remember sometimes getting ready to stand up in the pulpit going, what in the world am I possibly going to tell these people that they haven't already studied? They've got 50 years of life experience ahead of me. And it was a fearful situation in some of those cases. Somebody says, well, I want to be a deacon or an elder someday. And that little voice comes up and says, you? Come on, you? You, with all of the things you've done in your past, you just fall again and be a hypocrite. That little voice inside our head stops us more often than we want to admit. And when those moments come, we got to stop right there. And maybe one suggestion would be is write down those thoughts. Stop and write them down. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're identifying the belief that is the source of your fear. Sometimes that belief, well, I'm just not good enough, for example. That belief may have come from something someone told you years and years ago. Maybe it was your parents or a teacher who told you you're just never going to be that good. You'd be amazed at how little sentences, little phrases, there's incredible power in our words. And they can have a lifelong impact on people. Sometimes we need to stop and identify those beliefs and say, you know what? That's not true. I am better than that. I have accomplished some things in my life. Because if we never examine these beliefs that our mind is throwing out there, we're destined to live with these things, whether they're valid or not. And so if I begin to identify those things and my mind is telling me, then I can do something about it. I'd also need to ask myself this. If there is something within some spiritual matter, maybe it's I want to talk to this person, I want to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I'm really scared, I'm really uneasy about doing this, ask yourself, well, what is the worst thing that can happen? What is the worst thing that could happen? And visualize the possible outcome and then examine the consequences. And if it's really the worst thing happening, sit down and objectively think about what are the chances of that scenario actually happening? And you know what you'll find? it's not very likely that that worst case scenario is going to happen. It's just not very likely. And usually, we can move on from that. Brothers and sisters, we have much more greater things to lose simply by doing nothing. Here's another way that we can master our fears, and that is to understand that there will be setbacks in life. We're going to make mistakes. You know what? I wish there were things in my preaching life I could go back and have a redo, you know, have a reset button. Things I've said, things I didn't realize I was doing at the time, and now I look back and go, oh, wow. But you know, there's going to be setbacks. There's going to be situations where we're not perfect. Sometimes in those situations, it is easy for us to just sit back and do nothing because there's no risk, there's no danger, and when that happens, there is no change. And it can lead to very little excitement and very little progress in life. And too many people have done this in the Lord's church, and they're making no impact in their communities for Christ. I tell you, God calls us to do more than that. Brothers and sisters, we are a light to our communities. We point and show the way to Christ. So we need to launch out, and we need to prepare for setbacks. We're going to experience rejection. We're going to strike out. There are going to be some situations where we make mistakes and embarrass ourselves. I tell you, there are times when I feel like I am the king of embarrassing situations. But you got to stay with it. You got to stay on it. You got to keep going all the time with a vision of what the long-term outcome is going to be. Something else that's important for us to understand is that courage does not expect perfection. Courage does not expect perfection. Courage does not expect an easy path to follow. If you launch forth and you get knocked down, get up. View those setbacks as just part of the road of success. I tell you this, as we get ready to close our lesson tonight, I want us to know and understand, remember this, the storms of life and the spiritual challenges that we face, those are the moments where God is really at work. It is our God who seeks to reveal Himself in His saving and keeping and preserving power. I want to go back to the Old Testament for a moment and look at Psalm 37. Here is what Psalm 37 says. And it is in the dark moments, in the moments where we've got to step out in fear, we've got to trust in the Lord. We've got to do good and dwell in the land, befriend faithfulness. The psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Psalm 37 says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Focus on verse 24 there. God knows and understands we're going to make mistakes. I tell you, we've got to get this out of our mind that every time we make a mistake, God is mad at us. Brothers and sisters, He loves us. He's upholding our hand. He's the one that's saying, come on, get up, let's go, you can do it. Just like when you were helping your child learn how to ride a bike, or helping your child learn to walk, and they would take a few steps and fall again. You didn't get mad at them. You didn't take them in the other room and get out the belt and wear them out when they fell down. Come on, get up, you can do it, come on. Remember that? Brothers and sisters, that's our God. He's doing the same thing He's there constantly holding our hand, helping us along. And we need to begin to view God from that perspective. Look at Psalm 37, 39, and 40. Actually, here's 25 and 26 before we get to 39 and 40. He says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Look at verse 39. Salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold during their time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Isn't that a great passage? I tell you, these are passages that I've highlighted in my Bible. These are passages that I need to keep in a hand's distance to help me stay encouraged when I get down. Because God is there. He's with us every step of the way. Brothers and sisters, when we go through things, sometimes the trials we experience can be fearful. We need to remember passages like James chapter 1 that teach us trials have a purpose. James said, to count it all joy when you meet trials. Look at verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. If I realize that this is an opportunity for me to grow, then that can help me with my fear. James also said in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, to submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at verse 8. What an incredible promise to sons and daughters of God. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Think of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Where no temptation is overtaking that's not common to man. God is faithful. And He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Again, look at this passage. Look at the message. God is on our side. He is there. Deity does not just stand back, brothers and sisters, and take an inactive role in our life. God sent His Son to die on the cross so that we could be saved from our sins. And I tell you, God is not passive when it comes to helping us get home to heaven. He is there every step of the way. This passage teaches it very clearly, as well as all of the other ones that we've read. You know, brothers and sisters, we're going to experience fear. Fear is the price for growth. And so we must use it to build our complete and total trust in God to be a very present help in a time of trouble. You know, for the disciples, going back to Matthew 14, that storm at the time was just an unexpected natural event, an unexpected disaster, an unwanted and unnecessary trial in their mind, and a lonely and fearful journey into despair. At least initially to them, that would have been a night to forget. But I tell you, after the death of Jesus and into their personal ministries as apostles, I think it was then that they would look back to that night on a stormy sea in Galilee and realize the events of that night were to teach them a very important lesson about growth and trust in God. Brothers and sisters, we have to go through trials. We're going to experience fear. And when we do, we're going to have to remember that God is there. And He's not that far from us. We need to remember that the fear we experience can teach us to grow and trust God more and more. So what have we learned tonight? I hope that we have learned that God does not want His children to be faced with anxiety and worry. We need to be trusting in Him. God's Word fills us with hope and knowledge that He is there and that He always will be there and He will always take care of His sons and daughters. And I want to ask you tonight, are you a son or daughter of God? Are you a son or daughter of God? Are you in God's family? If you're not, then we'd like to help you become part of God's family tonight. We encourage you to come forward tonight believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins. Know that as you grow in Christ, know that there's going to be trials and things that come about. But you know what? You no longer face those things alone, because you have God Himself there with you every step of the way. And not only that, but you have faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who are with you every step of the way, helping you and helping each other get home to heaven. If you need Him tonight, then we encourage you to respond to this invitation. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.